All right, let's talk about aliens.
Welcome back to the High Kind. It's me, Huntley. I'm with Andy, our partner in crime, David.
The gremlins got him.
The gremlins got him, and he now is... Yeah, it's over. He's on Comcast tech support, and anybody that's used Comcast should know that he ain't coming.
Nope.
He ain't coming. It's going to be a while. So... we are going to basically wing this, and because actually David was going to be the lead chair in this one, so we'll save that episode for another day. So we're going to just talk about times that people said aliens told them to kill people.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Inner cross of possession, demon possession. And
exactly. Right. And I figure we can just wing this shit.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, right up Andy's alley, right up my alley, too, because we're the more occultish ones of the trio. And, yeah, we both practice magic and other esoteric studies, I'd say. And... yeah. I think that there's, like, connections here. So I'm going to start off. This happened in last June, 2019. This is from USA Today. A Pennsylvania woman was sentenced up to 40 years in prison for a murder of her boyfriend, which she says was caused by an online alien cult. Barbara Rogers, 42, was found guilty of third-degree murder for the 2017 killing of Steve Menino. And on Monday, she was sentenced to 15 to 40 years. Prosecutors and Menino's family criticized the sentence, calling it lenient, and thought Rogers should have been convicted of first-degree murder. So, apparently, this woman got... huh?
How many people?
She only killed one. She killed her boyfriend. And she said an online alien cult told her to do it.
I like the online part.
Yeah.
I was laughing at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amusing. Okay. What was the name of the cult?
I'm actually, yeah, it doesn't really say much on the information, but I'm going to do a little more digging. But this is what she said. My boyfriend had a gun, and he told me to hold it here and press the trigger. Oh, my God, he's dead, she told dispatcher. So apparently the boyfriend, from what she is saying, told her to kill him.
Okay.
And now, this is where it gets. Rogers said during the trial that Menino was upset about problems within the group, which caused him to ask Rogers to pull the trigger. According to Panaco Record, Menino said, thought that the leader was a reptilian pretending to be a human.
Shapeshifter!
Yes, exactly. But Shiner had told Menino that it was Rogers who was possessed, according to the Washington Post. When the demon manifested in her, it was the demon or a lizard. If she had both, a human's no match for the kind of supernatural strength, Shriner told NJ.com. The one thing I did know, he was no good. So, we've talked about, like, the connections of, like, reptilian, aliens, demons, or archons. Yeah, they're not necessarily... yep. Aliens, per se, but they are darker entities from an inner dimension.
They are alien.
They are alien in the terms that they are not from this world. But not so much as they are... go on.
Or realm.
Or realm.
Yeah. Or realm. They're not from Midgard, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're from the void.
They're
locked away a long time ago, and then... and some stupid people let him out.
Some stupid people. Basically.
You know. Yeah. No,
who do you think let him out, though?
I've got my theories on that based on mythology and things like that. Sorry. Hold on. My cat is apparently wanting to be part of this. Hold on. I've got my theories, but I don't know if I'm ready to talk about those. They're a little bit too crazy, maybe
No, I
just
mean
yet.
you just like give like the cream of it. We don't have to go into the rest of it, but
Certain
just the cream.
god, certain gods looking for more power. I guess we'll summarize it like that. That's the Cliff Notes version. But yeah. I think like the entities we consider gods, are often represented as these alien-like beings and throughout history. And whether they have the elongated heads or they have all these different forms they take in different cultures. You got the Dogon people that had like the alien fish people that came to them, and like you see this again and again and again. And then you had all these. There was a time, when there were all these different
A murder
mythological
trial involving this woman, her
creatures that
boyfriend,
don't
and an
exist today,
online
but if they did, we
cult.
would call them
Jurors.
cryptids, So it's kind of fun to think about that too. I think there was a time when the veil, the separation between the realms was thinner. I think maybe it's a natural ebb and flow, that magic ebbs and flows as well. And there's times when that spiritual connection, or that connection that the material has to the astral and to the higher realms, to like the etheric, I think that there's times when that ebb, it is weaker, and then later when it picks back up. And I think we're starting to enter a time when that's starting to pick up again, because I see a lot of interest in magic, much more than when even when I was younger. I don't remember that being nearly as common
No.
meeting people.
I think the internet especially, it's just like we've seen the rise of the Tumblr witches to put in, and like that's not me making fun of the Tumblr witch. Everybody has their practice and I respect it. And I think like a lot of that, like the connections of online and social media has connected people to where it's not so much as forbidden now that there's other like-minded people that they don't feel so ostracized because, imagine being in a small ass town with no internet and being like, I'm a witch, I'm a sorcerer. It's not going to go very well for you.
Exactly. No, it's not. Not at all. But I know that was a tangent. I can't remember what your original question was now.
Well, we were talking about that, but I'm gonna go. We were talking about what did you think released them from the realm that they were banished to? But
Certain gods, yeah.
yeah, certain gods.
That's
So,
all I'll say for now.
Rodgers and Menino were reportedly both followers of Sherry Shriner, who on her website calls herself a servant, a prophet, ambassador, daughter, messenger of the Most High God. That's a lot of fucking qualifications, in my opinion. That's a lot of shit. Why can't you just say messenger of the true God?
And you should abbreviate like most, PhD,
PhD,
MD,
MD. Yeah. Why are you making this more complicated, Sherry? Seriously. I'm gonna do a web search of Sherry Shriner. She's dead, apparently. Oh shit.
I do research cults sometimes
Yeah.
and things like that, so that is fun to go into, because I find a lot of them are often based off, universal truths like hermetic truths and laws and things like that. And anything on that, that's just like the foundation, right? Like that's a foundation of any, in my view, any spiritual structure that is as close to truth as can be, no matter what expression you're seeing. But yeah, there's those cults are often that way too, because they're also like tied into like self-help stuff, and you look at Scientology, that's a good example. But then there's a lot of other ones too that have incorporated aliens. There was Heaven's Gate, and then so some of these groups take these these fundamental ideas and universal laws and twist them in dark ways, you know, to control people. But it is interesting to see because, you know, maybe I've often thought, you know, maybe many of those people running those cults are archons or are possessed, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe they're.
Or have made some sort of deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. For power. Because
for
that's
power,
really
yeah.
Why, you know,
yeah, that's why most people fucking do shit, is for power.
Well, it's the Faustian.
Yeah.
The story of Faust, you know?
Yeah.
Like, of course, no one ever learns the moral lesson.
There, no, they don't. You know. They don't. They just skip over that part.
Yeah, it's like, why not make deals with devils? Yeah.
Yeah. So, one, I Googled Sherry Shriner's name. And I didn't Google it. I DuckGoGo did because I don't use Google.
I use DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, and one of the first things that came up was how to detect and nullify chip implants. Almost all of us have been. This is from Sherry Shriner's website. Almost all of us have been implanted with chips in one way or another since we were born. Vaccinations, flu shots, dental work, surgeries, sleep abduction. In fact, the most medicine, including dentistry, have been loaded with implantable chips since the 1960s. They have had this tech. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fillings.
Yeah, the fillings. And they have had this technology for 40 years or more and are just now bringing it out to condition and introduce to the public. Withholding technologies typical for the government and military for years before they release it to the public for whatever reason. I agree with that. I think we have so much more technology that we do not know about in government facilities. Yeah. And it's just like, I know people will just be like, no.
The military cutting edge stuff is always so far ahead.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, because they pump billions and billions and billions and billions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars into it. And then, you know, like, it better be bleeding edge at that point.
Yeah, you better be doing fucking something with that fucking money.
Yeah. Which will hopefully find its way to the civilian populace in some form.
Yeah, in some form one day.
Which is maybe what we're seeing.
Yeah. Now, like... This is different from your typical murder because this is specifically alien. Alien. But how many other like so-called possession murders or so-called possession do you really think has been in the biblical Judeo-Christian sense compared to more of spirits from entities from another realm?
Well, I mean, one thing that would probably happen a lot that would be interpreted that way would be like channeling and things like that. You know, when that's a kind of it's a spiritual ability for basically being a human divination rod, essentially. But where entities can speak through you. Problem there is if you don't know how to protect yourself, then negative entities can speak through you, too, which is what often happens with them. Whether it be the Law of One or Edgar Cayce or numerous others that like it's, they get kind of attacked energetically. One of the guys who was involved with Law of One killed himself, I think, after everything that happened. But you look through history, and I'm sure. There's any number of...
A murder trial involving this woman, her boyfriend, and an online cult.
Jurors hearing tales about aliens and the end of the world. Our top story on Newswatch.
God damn it.
What?
I thought I muted the fucking website, and then it started playing again in the middle of your talking, and I was just like, motherfucker. The thing that I think, and I actually went on a long Twitter rant about this a couple of days ago, and it was pretty fun, but, like, I think a lot of times when people think demon possession, or they think they've seen angels, or angels told them to do this, that they're not seeing angels or demons in the traditional parameters of Christianity. or, you know, Judaism or Islam or any of the traditional religion, the three big religions that we know, what would you say somebody's most likely seeing if they see an angel?
Well, here's the thing you have to remember about the astral realm is that it is perceptual, meaning your perception dictates what you see, well, to an extent. Okay, so if there's an entity standing before you, if you and I were in the astral realm together, astral projecting, we look at the same entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that entity is, let's say, a bull, I don't know, an astral bull, why not, right? When I say to you, hey, bull, an image comes into your mind automatically, right? It's like if I say pink elephant, there it is. There's a pink elephant, you know? Same thing for me. So that's my perceptual idea of what a bull looks like. And then you have yours. We're both going to see that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So for these higher beings, like angels, I guess a lot of it depends on your perception, which your perception's dictated by all your programming, right? Your, that you've gone under religious programming, your societal programming, you know. Maybe an atheist sees an ET of some sort, like one of the tall, what are they, the Nords, I think they called them, the tall blonde aliens. And then there's the, you know, there's a lot of these ones that are like believed to be here to help save, you know, all these different species that are more positive, the blue avians and all these different things, right? And I don't know which ones are real and which ones aren't or anything like that, but you know, if an atheist was standing there, maybe they'd see something more akin to something sci-fi, because that's their societal programming. Whereas someone who's religious, Judeo-Christian, is going to see an angel more likely, I guess.
Yeah, and that's always been my perception, is that when people see angels, that they're not necessarily seeing an angel, but because that's how their mind can process what they're seeing, it's going to be an angel to them. They're like,
it's too much for
our little mice brains to comprehend. So they're going to be like, oh, now, this is an agent. They're going to, like, even if it was a fucking gigantic lobster just floating at them, they would find a way to be like, oh, that was an angel.
Well, you do also have to consider something, too, would be, in the bull analogy, the bull doesn't necessarily have free will, per se. It can't control how it's perceived, I guess, too much. Doesn't really care, right? It's an animal. But if we're talking about an entity like an angel, that would be an intelligent entity. So they're also going to have some influence on how you perceive them, because we project our perceptions in a way too, like, or how we like to be perceived. We project that as well. You know, everyone has like different masks with different people. You're a different kind of person with your parents versus your best friend versus your wife versus whatever. You know, you have these different identities, and that's what they are, these different things. But so an angel, you know, it's a very powerful type of spiritual entity. So I guess you would, you know, it would, yeah, it would be something glorious and magnificent and mind-blowing, but if you saw its true form, I guess it would just fry your brain.
Yeah, exactly. You your brain would become fucking pea soup. You would just be like, yeah, you see this fly.
Yeah, exactly.
You would you see something that's like a flying lobster, or just like some kind. It could be something that's just like a fence post just flying at you, and it just like has a weird blue aura, and you're just like, well, my little mouse brain is gone. It's just leaking from your ears. And that's why it's just like, I think in order to avoid that, like in their mind, they're just like, I've heard about this. I read about these when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's an angel.
It's like with the Mothman story, when I talked a little bit about that with the Indrid Cold character, and the guy he was talking to was kind of a country bloke, sort of, you know, like just a country guy, just country dude, you know, probably it's very simple life kind of thing, and the UFO ship he saw was like a fucking beater, you know?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
It was Uncle Buck's car.
Yeah, it was Uncle Buck's. It was basically Uncle Buck's car flying towards him, just like and just like popping the engine, the like fucking light speed engine just popping and just like going like that. And when it's slowing down, the brakes are going squealing.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it makes sense because that's what he would see, because his brain can't fucking fathom some alternative metal that he's never seen before. His brain cannot fathom light speed or interdimensional travel or a portal fucking opening up.
Or, you know, or maybe he's just not a fan of sci-fi.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. That he just grew up watching fucking Andy Griffin all goddamn day. So then, like, he sees something else, and he's just like, the only thing he can fucking relate it to is some kind of Mayberry car, and he smells apple pie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And see, it makes sense. See, that the perception thing is a problem, though, because there's no way to objectively verify things. And from what I've read about the astral realm and this kind of thing is that also, like, anything with energy also can kind of affect how things are perceived in the astral realm.
Mm-hmm.
So when an astral being comes here, like in the form of a UFO or an alien or an angel or whatever, for whatever the time limit is, because, you know, it's, you know, you can think of it like they're having to, like, hold their breath or something, or, you know, while they come down, energetically speaking, while they come down here, like me diving into water, you know, and they're going down and talk to the fish, you know, which is us.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I think the perceptual idea about the astral realm and things like that does explain a lot of the different... It explains and also connects a lot of the different dots from across the board, whether it be, you know, whether you're in the ancient aliens camp or if you're not, or if you're, you know, like, it connects the mythology and the religion and the shamanism and the spirituality and the DMT, you know, all the different stories and study and what studies have been done on DMT and the entities people meet. And, you know, like... It connects all of that, and it connects the UFO phenomenon and everything. And you really just see that this is just all interconnected into kind of interbranching if you account for perceptual change.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is some element of thought form to that world, to the astral, you know. And so, hoping I'm going to astral project soon. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
So, see.
It's one of my favorite things. It is.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, we actually need to do an episode about astral projection. Maybe we'll do that, seeing that we're doing alien murders tonight. It's working.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Because, you know, David's... I wonder if the Black Ops groups are connected to Comcast, and that's why they were just like... Because he was going to talk about... stargates, ancient stargates.
No shit, like the ones in like the Middle East and stuff.
Yes, he was going to talk about that tonight. And next thing you know, but like 15 minutes before we were going live, he disappears and we're pivoting. Now on you've heard of, what was the movie? I can't remember their names. But the couple that were, you know, demonologists.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I can't remember their names, but that's but we're high.
Oh. Yeah, they had a reliquary, and the movie The Conjuring was
The Conjuring was about them. It was actually a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Lorraine.
And Ed, what was their last name though?
Warren.
I think it was Warren. I think it was Warren.
Makes me sad. I had that much trouble remembering that because I love them.
Yeah, because the circumstances.
They had a reliquary that.
Yeah.
They would like collect cursed objects and have them cleansed regularly, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The Conjuring showed the room where they had the cursed objects. And how often, like, Because I believe they believed that they were dealing with your traditional demons, at least in the movies, as that's how it's portrayed. I'm sure that the Warrens had much more deeper knowledge into different things compared to like what you see on The Exorcist, where it's just the Catholic priest saying, demon be gone.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so exorcism is actually something I have studied quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The kind of magic I prefer is protective magic. So that's my focus. That's my strength. That's what I prefer to do. And I classify exorcisms and banishments in general in that category.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something I have studied. What was your question? Damn it.
Well, do you... mine went blank.
Train of thought.
When you look at movies, I'll format it differently. When you watch movies of, like, The Conjuring, how much of that do you believe is, like, your traditional... Accurate. Yes, accurate.
Oh, not much.
Yeah, but I don't think so either. Just from what I've studied, because I'm like you, I read this stuff too.
Or any of those shows, like Supernatural, you know, they incorporate a lot of different things, like Enochian and all these different things into it and whatnot. And honestly, from what I see, mostly in fiction, you do get a little bit of the truth seems to be kind of leaked through and stuff like that, and kind of disseminated in a way that you have to know what you're looking for, because you know. You know, those who have the eyes to see it will see it. You know, the symbolism, the meaning and stuff.
Yeah. And that's the thing I can appreciate. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's the thing I can kind of appreciate about the Supernatural, especially when they got into Enochian thing, because I was on a big Enochian kick for a while. And the thing that, like, my brain, just being the weird stoner brain that it is, was just like, what if John Dee wasn't dealing with angels?
I think he was talking to Archons.
Exactly. Like, yeah, me and you talked about this, that you thought he was talking to Archons. And that was the thing I tried to explain to somebody, is that, like, John Dee, because, like, us, and especially back when John Dee was around advising the Queen, was, I doubt he could really fathom anything outside of just your traditional Christian winged angel coming to visit him. Whether that was just his brain processing it, or whether the Archons shapeshifted themselves into looking like an angel, I don't know.
Well, wasn't it Kelly that saw most of the...
yeah, it was, but John Dee was the one that basically transcribed it and wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've studied that story quite a bit over the years, and I've studied a lot of other situations, because Kelly was channeling, which, like I mentioned earlier, is kind of risky, and there's other examples of people channeling, and they're linking that to exorcisms, kind of linking it all together there. I've read stories of basically these possessions that were, I think these people were just natural born channelers, and they just went off, and I think it was a kid or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact story where I heard it. It was on one of those podcasts that recount like scary stories, but if I can think about it later, I'll send it to you for the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it was this girl that had was basically just on, you know, just fully open channel, and all these different demons and archons and shit were speaking through her, and then there ended up being like a tug of war battle going on where angels started talking through her, and even their messages were like inspiring and hopeful and like all these things, like for the family and stuff, and for like the priests, like, and like trying to help the priests with the exorcism, if I remember correctly. Like there was a, and then it would switch back to demons, and it was just like this tug of war thing, if I remember correctly. I'll see if I can find it, But it's interesting to think, because, like, John, go back to John Dee. That could, you know, like, some of these things could originate with angels, like Law of One channelings and things like that. And then you have to be careful because they can take a real sharp turn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of cults get built up around these channelers sometimes, where they're channeling these spirits. And I, you know, you listen to the message, and honestly, you look at the people, you know, look at their actions, right? Look at their behavior. I mean, if someone's truly spiritually enlightened, you know, I don't think enlightenment necessarily means you're a good person, which is kind of a controversial opinion. Like, I don't think you have to be good to become enlightened to reach that kind of state. I think bad people also can reach enlightenment, and neutral people. I think the choice is what matters. That you do align with something, but, like, I don't know. Like, so when I look at people, like some of these cult leaders I've seen throughout the years that are channeling these entities and whatnot, I've got to wonder if they're basically just being manipulated by these archons, and to just, you know, maybe creating, like, just fun, getting as much energy out of these people as they possibly can, just to eat it, basically, because it's like a feeding frenzy for them. And then, or you get the situations like Heaven's Gate where they all just kill themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just, I guess all you can do is just judge it, a tree by its fruit. And, you know, with a lot of these organizations. But with D, I kind of wonder, like, I do think it was mostly archonic, but I wonder maybe it started out not that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dick possibly got hijacked. That maybe,
yeah, that happens a lot. It happens a lot from what I've read in my studies. Yeah.
That, like,
channelers would get just...
Yeah. That, like, he was channeling something that had good intentions, and then the Archons came in and basically took it over, and it was just, like, started giving him different messages. Yeah. Like, if you... Like, Enochian magic... is one of the stranger ones to me. Not so much strange. Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I don't mess with it too much. It does work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That's because it's based off Hermetic truths,
yeah,
and it's based off other languages, other older magical languages that were based off the same truths and the systems. And, you know, I still believe that all these different languages are just pulling from the same well, that there is an original language, which I guess you would call, like, I don't know, the code of the programming language for the Matrix, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you want to look at it from a modern perspective, that's kind of what it would be.
Yeah.
And that's really what magic is.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, you know, here's what I want to manifest, and here's all the energy I'm going to put into it.
Yeah.
This is my intent. You know?
Yeah, and like, that's the thing, is doing a pivot here for a second of when, you know, you tell people that, hey, I practice magic.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you're just practicing woo-woo shit, or they either think that you're fucking just lighting some fucking candles and doing some chants, or they think you're fucking sacrificing a chicken to Moloch. There is no in between.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's hilarious because magic happens all the time. Manifestation happens all the time. Like, the books, like, if you were to give the book Power of Positive Thinking to that person, they would be all on board, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a classic, for one. But, like, or any of these self-help books that are about your managing your intent.
Yeah. And that's how I try to break it down to people, is that all I'm doing is dispersing my energy and my intention into whatever we are in. Yeah.
Yeah, you're concreting it kind of in a way, you know, like, instead of, I mean, you can do the same thing with a mantra.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing with, honestly, if I think, like I've mentioned before, for some of the more powerful spiritual entities incarnated here, I think just dwelling on things can possibly cause manifestation.
Yeah, I agree. When people dwell on something, I feel like when you dwell on negative feelings for so long, that you are basically inviting things into your home, into you're basically building a vacant apartment in your body, in your mind, for these negative things to, you know, live there fucking rent free. We talk about rent free all the time. And, you know, that's one of the things that, like, I think everybody battles is dwelling and shit like that. And that's one of those things that I try not to do because of just the negative energy that comes in there.
Yeah. Well, and that's what these entities are drawn to. You know, they're parasitic entities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can find fictional examples of them everywhere. We were talking about Stargate earlier, and that's another one. The Goa'uld, the reptilian snake things in the heads that act like they're gods and want to control everyone. They're like, Archon means ruler. That's what it means.
Exactly.
So, like it's the whole Goa'uld and all of that. Like, it's totally the same story being retold in different ways, just, you know, throughout history, over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know. Or They Live, or Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. and like, all these things have some kind of premise. Like, They Live, just like, that's such a fucking classic movie.
It is, too. I want those glasses.
I want those glasses so bad, too. But so much of just, like, the things that people manifest, and they don't even realize it. And that's where I'm kind of making the circle back to the supposed alien possession of a woman who killed her boyfriend and said an alien basically told her to do it.
Yeah.
We don't know the circumstances. Yeah. We don't know the circumstances. She could have been really depressed and, you know, just creating that vacant space in her life.
Like you said, you're basically, and you're inviting them in, too. Yeah. That's the other thing, you know, by exposing yourself. Because it's like, what's the old myth of the vampire? What are the rules, right? A vampire is a parasitic organism that sucks out your life force. So what's the rules? You have to invite them in. Like, it exists for a reason.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's one of the weirder things to me about that is, like, even if you do not believe in the, like, the Christian, you know, exorcist shit that you see, is just, like, negative thoughts. I don't know how this podcast became a self-help podcast tonight, but it fucking did. Whatever. We're pivoting hard here. But, you know, that's the thing that I always tell people is just to get the negative bullshit out of your head. Don't pay much mind to what people think about you. Like, don't dwell on all that negative shit because you're inviting something.
Yeah. Well, and that's hard. You know, like, someone like me, you know, because I used to weigh 300 pounds way back when, you know, and body dysmorphia does not go away. So, you know, I struggle with that a lot, and that's the one thing throughout my own personal spiritual journey so far is just been, it's been a bear, but, you know, just deprogramming a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, just be comfortable, and I'm more comfortable now in my weirdness than I've ever been. Yeah. You know, like, I'm a weird guy, and you're either going to like me a lot.
Yeah.
Or you're just probably just going to ignore me because you think I'm a little weird or crazy.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes. People are usually either obsessed with me or they're totally cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's the best way to live, in my opinion, is I'm the same way. It's like, people either really want to talk to me a lot or they're just like, that dude's fucking crazy. He's fucking talking about reptiles and entities and black magic and white magic and stuff like that. And they're just like, nah, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too. Just a year ago, I wouldn't probably have been comfortable enough on coming on here talking about this stuff. But now I'm just like, you know what? This is me.
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
These are the things I study. These are my beliefs. And, I don't really care.
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
It's who I am. But it took me a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had to deprogram a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I've gotten to a place where I finally have. And I'm getting closer to being, like, the truest version of myself, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But what I don't, you know, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, because, like, I don't think when you become, you know, like, when you get to that point, when you, I guess, tame your dragons or whatever, you know, I don't think you don't lose your bad traits. You just fully accept them and you try to control and have outlets for them and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. like healthy outlets. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what embodying the shadow is all about, but making it conscious. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, you're right though. You know, like, it's your set and setting matters, and that's not just for drugs. Your set and setting matters for, like,
but that's the most fun part.
Well, but that's the thing, you know, this may just be one big standard hallucination we're all having. So, like, your set and setting matters, both, you know, who's around you, where you're living, like, so much matters. And, like, whatever little you can do to improve that on a daily basis will compound your growth, mm-hmm. you know, your growth in a better direction. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just don't want any. Yeah, you just don't want to. Yeah, you want to manifest it, and you don't want any shape-shifting reptiles entering your house and fucking shit up for you.
Or black-eyed kids.
Or orbs.
Orbs.
That's the thing.
Do you think orbs are bad?
I've been split. I actually asked a question on my Twitter the other day, and I'm going to go back to some of these people, because I asked people if they ever saw UFOs, and the number one thing that people did send, you know, actually messaged me about was that they saw orbs. And, you know, there's also the connection of people seeing orbs in graveyards.
Yeah.
And orbs in supposed hauntings. So,
Will-o'-the-wisp.
I'm not saying that they're good or evil. I think they're neutral.
I agree. The Will-o'-the-wisp. I think they're just spirits.
Yeah.
I think when you see a spirit and it's non, like, if there's a spirit, like, just a normal human spirit or something like that, and you saw just, like, what it actually looks like without a filter, right? Without a perceptual filter.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those are just spirits that are so old they forgot who they were, and they no mm-hmm. longer have their own perceptual idea of who they were, you know? Which mm-hmm. is kind of terrifying. But maybe they're just floating around. And
they're floating around. Like, that's been that's been my thing, is that I don't even think that they know where the fuck they are.
Maybe not.
I think, you know, that they are attached to an area, but they're completely unaware of why they're in that area.
And they
just do their thing because they have some sort of connection there. Especially the ones that's the number one thing that, like, the times I've gone ghost hunting, which is,
we need to do together.
Yeah, we need to do it together soon, but when people are just like, I see orbs here, and, you know, I'm just like, well, what's their intention? They're like, I think they're evil. And I'm just like, I think you're working on just an assumption, because you're going ghost right. hunting, and it's more exciting to be like, they're fucking evil, rather than they are neutral, or just things, fucking yeah. there, just fucking there, just being like, why the fuck am I wandering around this graveyard in this weird little country town? Ugh.
It's like asking a bird why it's there. Or
yeah.
something, you know,
it doesn't fucking know. It just does.
It does. It does. It's instinct.
Yeah, it's instinct. It's instinct, and that's as far as it goes. And, like, that's always been my problem with paranormal investigators, is that they don't go, like, the majority of them that I have talked to, or people that are at least have interest in it, are always looking just for bad. They go into these things just being like, bad, because there's nothing exciting about going to talk to Mary Beth, who was just a knitter and, you know, liked to play the piano. There's no fucking interest in that. That's not exciting. And that's why it's always this them going to abandoned asylums, sanitariums, graveyards, they're supposedly prisons. Yeah, exactly.
Prison.
Because
I will not go into abandoned prisons, especially if it was anyone ever execution was ever a thing there.
Yeah.
I won't. That's one thing I won't do. Yeah. the energy in those locations is
it's crazy. Nope. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's bad, bad juju.
Yeah. And that's what they're fucking pursuing, is they want that exciting thing. It's like thrill for them.
But they're also inviting, like,
they're inviting bad shit with them.
And you're set and setting mentally. Say you're in a really bad place. Say you've been depressed. Say you've been whatever of the seven sins you're like focused on. I don't know. Maybe you're a really angry person. And you're just whatever negative emotions, you know, or really lustful or gluttonous, whatever. I do believe that certain ones kind of specialize on certain emotions and things they can get into, which is why the whole seven sins concept came from the desert fathers in Christianity. They were hermits.
Yeah.
They weren't like, this didn't come from, the Vatican kind of thing. Like, these were like hermit mystics and sages and Christian sages and stuff that came up with these concepts. And I think it was for a reason, you know, like these emotions that are expressed negatively in the form of gluttony or lust or whatever it might be. Draw in these type of entities. And when you go into these cursed places like that, or lands, like I mentioned, like prisons where executions have happened and things like that, where a lot of dark, emotionally charged things have occurred, you know, with spirits of people who were very dark people to be, you know, like just very negative entities themselves. Like, it's just a bad mixture. And you go in there and say you had a bad week and you just got a lot of negative thoughts in your head. Your set and settings messed up. And there you go. You're just inviting them in.
Yeah, you're just inviting them. Like,
hey, here I am.
And what do you think about people that, you know, are going into these places just for glory? Maybe not glory in the regards of, like, I'm driving a fancy ass car, but as we talked about, they're not going. Nobody has interest in just calm spirits or calm entities or whatever the fuck. They want to always go for the creepy bad shit because they think they're living it's basically their version of skydiving. It's exhilarating to them.
That, but it's also the pride factor. Right? Which is one of the sins, you know, like it's, they want the glory or fame. That's another thing, you know, and so much of it is fake and charlatans and all of that. And it's like, but I do believe obviously these entities, exist. I think the spiritual world is just as varied and diverse in its population as Earth, meaning there's spiritual entities that are the equivalent levels of the same types of animals we have and insects and plant life. And they're probably all kinds of weird things that we only every now and then get a peek at, you know, with the cryptids and other things like that, when maybe there's a weak spot in the veil and somehow they slip through or something, you know, Bigfoot, maybe, you know,
Bigfoot.
Who knows?
Yeah. Bigfoot is, maybe Bigfoot.
Well, there's a common, like, one thing I've noticed, I did look a little bit into Bigfoot because I do like to look into cryptids every now and then just for fun, and there's often UFO sightings around
Bigfoot. Yeah. I was actually about to say that is, it's just like if you look at areas where there's high frequencies of UFOs, there's usually some kind of cryptid. There's either a cryptid sighting close, whether it's Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Mothman.
Yep.
Or there's some kind of high energy output, whether that is a nuclear device or a nuclear power plant.
So there's this, I wish I could find it. It was a study, you know about ley lines, right? All right, so ley lines are this, the idea behind them is that it's this electromagnetic grid that surrounds the Earth, and there's these points that connect. And these, basically, it's where, I guess, the magnetosphere kind of is, I don't know, maybe it generates some sort of pattern when it's expressed out of the Earth. I don't know how it actually functions, but the idea is at these points magic is stronger. Well, if magic is stronger at a certain point, right, if your magic is more potent, that means the veil is naturally thinner wherever you are, which means you're inherently going to have certain things like spiritual sightings, ghosts, poltergeists, whatever, right? Yeah. So this one person, there's a ley line that cuts from through Nashville and down into Atlanta, mm-hmm. and it also happens to follow a highway. And this one pamphlet I found, someone had uploaded it as a PDF, and they had done this little, not super scientific, but somewhat study into the number of different types of supernatural sightings on down that highway, mm-hmm. which also lined up with that ley line. And it was just like clockwork, like crazy amounts of UFO sightings, ghost sightings, mm-hmm. Cryptid sightings, mm-hmm. like, so again, that goes back to my theory that
they're all interconnected.
Yeah. So they're all coming from the same place, and that these points are just a little weaker, and sometimes I guess entities slip through, maybe, and then people come and get them, you know.
Yeah. What other interdimensional being comes and just is like, "Yo, you are blowing our cover, dude."
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You gotta come with us. Stop fucking things up, Sasquatch. Stop fucking things up. Why are you fucking things up so bad for us? What other ley lines, like, are in America?
Well, there's there's quite a few intersections of ley lines in America. The thing with ley lines that everyone always talks about, though, is the Vile Vortices, which is like the Bermuda Triangle, mm-hmm. and there's the Devil's Triangle, and then the Dragon's... I don't think it's Triangle. It's Dragon something. But there's like 12 of them, or 8 or 8 or 12 of them, I can't remember. But they are these points of intersection where there's really weird, crazy electromagnetic oddities, basically, you know, and that's obviously, you know, the whole Bermuda Triangle thing, so. But as far as America goes, I think that this actually ties into another magical subject called geomancy. Mm-hmm. I think there's major points of ley line intersections in a lot of major cities that mm-hmm. have ritualistic and esoteric architecture. Like Washington, D.C. would be a great example of that. If you look at the layout of it, it is designed and constructed using esoteric symbolism, and that's a form of magic called geomancy, where you're basically building these giant, like, your architecture and your buildings are your sigils mm-hmm. and your magic. And you're basically rerouting the energy from these ley lines into your purpose, for whatever your purposes are, on a massive scale. So I think in a lot of those cities, especially cities where you see a lot of pagan symbolism, because you have to remember a lot of these people that are part of these organizations may outwardly be Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever religion they claim to be, but in secret they follow a totally different doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you also still see groups of them that are pagan. And so in Nashville, you've got the Parthenon and the Statue of Athena. And then you've got in Birmingham, I think you got the Statue of Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's Birmingham or not. There's the Statue of Columbia, obviously, in D.C., which Columbia, in a lot of ways, is kind of a, in my view, modern version of Artemis. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you see these kind of symbolism and everything everywhere. So like anywhere you find that, right? Especially those old towns, those old cities, I should say, like major cities and ones that have a lot of history. You look at that architecture. If you can find any kind of weird history, New York's probably is another one too, because the Empire State Building. You should always look into the history of that. There's a lot of esoteric mm-hmm. work that went into the construction of it. So, if you can find those kind of cities and buildings and things like that, that gives you a clue that there's some sort of spiritual purpose, right? And mm-hmm. power. It's the same reason they built giant obelisks back in Egypt and things like that. It's kind of like rerouting some of this.
Yeah, energy. Rerouting the power. Rerouting, like, it's basically an antenna, a fork, a tuning fork.
Yeah, and it's
of tapping in to... something
for
more.
Chi or prana or ba or ka. Like there's been the you know, different names for it, ki over the years, vril. But there's always it's this that life force energy, and that is always Oregon is a more modern version of that term. But yeah, it's kind of trying to reroute the Earth's natural her ley lines, I guess, are kind of like our meridians and energy channels and chakras and things like that. I guess they maybe those are hers, you know. I mean, she has a very different body than us, so you know, they would look different, so maybe they're just a grid. I don't know. Just thinking off the top of my head, but I think and I think people will just use some of these locations for more power. And then of course you always find, like I said, more supernatural events happen. So
like one of the big things in DC was all the flying spheres that happened in I believe Truman's time. And
Truman, they had a lot of the ones flying over the bases too, didn't they?
Yes, they did. A lot of
Truman set off the bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And they were probably what happened was they dropped, when the bombs dropped, that alerted some kind of alien or being out of this world or out of this realm. And then they started to investigate. And then they were just like, oh, it's this Truman dude. And went to DC and started trying to survey the area.
Yeah, yeah. And then they've been just coming here ever since. You know, and those spheres could also just be like drones, I guess, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was another thing I was going to mention since we brought up Truman and the bombs. One of the few things I believe that can travel through those dimension, the veil, right? These dimensional barriers or whatever, is high energy. Focused high energy, so like a nuclear blast, which again is why I think they started coming here, to kind of like check up on us again and be like, what the hell is going on here? Because I think there may have been a time when all these creatures, these astral entities, and like were coexisting with us, and that kind of conjunction of the spheres type scenario from The Witcher.
Yeah.
And then that they got these, that the two were, the veil was made stronger, basically, I guess, or like the separation was increased. I lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of those things is just like, I think that they're always checking on us, but I think I think the frequency of them checking on us picked up after nuclear arms.
1940s, yeah, from the 1940s.
And there's this weird double-edged sword to that argument, as in, we wouldn't have proof of that because we didn't really have the tracking technology.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know, like, at least from my... I think that any high-energy situation like that, I think you're gonna find more UFOs around, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you're going to see sightings concentrated around places that produce high energy. Yeah. I would like to see if anyone has a study of how many UFO sightings around CERN there's been.
Yeah.
The particle accelerator is extremely high powered.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem with that is they're never going to fucking tell us. Because I think there's a lot of strange things going on at CERN.
Yeah. And well, and they're messing with the fabric of reality in a lot of ways. And I think, you know... I don't know if they have the fabric to break it, but I was reading an article not that long ago that there was this one scientist who was trying to build a laser powerful enough to literally pierce the fabric of reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, why? What motive do you have?
You're gonna open up a fucking rift. Yeah. Have you not seen Stranger Things? You're gonna open a rift. You know, which is another good example of like what I'm talking about, of like, you know, like in the season when the Mind Flayer came into Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't look identical to how it did in the Upside Down, but it kind of like formed its own version of this fucked up meat body thing, you know, that looked like it did. But that shows another good example of that, like the perceptual shifts and things like that, you know, like we have to be careful not to open up a gateway into the underworld.
Yeah, no, we don't want to. We don't want to fuck with that. We already have enough shit happening to us that, like, we know of. And even if you don't know about it, there's probably a fuck ton more. Why would we want to open up that door any further? And what do you think? Like we were just saying, what would the motivation be? I think the motivation is they do know what's out there and they're trying to help them.
I think some of them, I think some of them do, because like we talked about the history of magic and occultism and esoteric arts and science, especially during the rocket age and you know, space travel and whatnot, the birth of that, and how many people involved in that were also involved in these esoteric cults where they were contacting angels and demons and all sorts of things for knowledge and information.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course, scientists are probably, there's still people doing it today. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not just going to look at someone like Jack Parsons, who is intelligent as he was, and say, well, oh, because of his esoteric beliefs, then I'm just going to write him off as, like, he didn't really know what he was doing, you know, or something. Like, no, he was literally a rocket scientist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who believed in magic.
Yeah, so. Who believed in magic, and that there's so many, a lot of them. I think you would have to have the imagination to begin and to like have the open, like that's what kills me about so many people these days is like back to the, like when you openly admit that you practice magic, they're just like, oh, I'm a being of rational and logic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so stupid. Well, you know what? Have fun being absolutely boring and not thinking outside of the box, because you look at so many people from like Operation Paperclip or Jack Parsons or like all these people, a lot of them studied the occult.
Well, this is the thing this is what I've always settled on, right? Okay, do I believe there's something to magic and that it works? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I don't require other people to believe that, but here's what I do know. There are very, very powerful people in this world who are very wealthy and to levels that would boggle the mind and the amount of power they have. And guess what? They believe in magic too. They practice magic. Mm-hmm. They practice dark magic, spirit cooking, and all these other things, right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? They believe. So, now, I believe these people are fucking evil. But are they successful? Well, yeah. They've been pretty fucking successful so far. So whatever they're doing is working. So maybe, you know, I think, like, know your enemy and take seriously what your enemy takes seriously. You know, like, you need to understand why they believe in this and why they use it. Because there's other schools of magic, you know? You can be a green witch and focus on healing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're a white witch and focus on protection, you know? Like, there's all sorts of things that, like, and you just mishmash and make your own thing. It doesn't really matter. There's no rules, really.
Yeah, there's no rules. Yeah, there's, like, that's part of, that was actually part of why I fell off the Enochian magic thing, is how ritualistic that you need to be.
Ceremony's okay.
Yeah, ceremony's fine.
Like, simple ceremony is cool. Like showing respect to what you're doing, or if you're dealing with entities, or if you're using hallucinogens, which I think is the same thing. I think you're inviting a certain spirit into to share your mind with you, your consciousness, when you're using certain hallucinogens. You're sharing your mind with another intelligence, basically. And I think that having a ceremony that involves showing respect by, you know, cleaning yourself, cleaning your house, these sorts of things, you know, like there's a reason that the set and setting matters there too, you know, like, you know, you're inviting over these intelligences. So like, I think that, that ceremony is important, and depending on the type of magic you're doing, there is some level of ritual that is important for protection. But aside from that, there's a lot of extra crap that can and should be kind of cut out to make your practice more efficient.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
That's, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm working under the same opinion. So we are at an hour 05. So I say that we end this episode on stop being narrow-minded and just
be open-minded.
Be open-minded.
If the people who have ill intent for this world believe in this stuff, you should at least consider
it. Yeah. We're going to call this the self-help episode.
Yeah.
Next week, we will actually talk about ancient stargates. Maybe. Hopefully. Maybe.
If the gremlins didn't get David.
Well, from what he told me is that, like, basically he got logged out of his modem and it's not working, and that's because the CIA has him now. We're not talking to David anymore.
I hope not.
We're not talking to David anymore.
God damn it. No.
He's no longer with us. David has been captured by the CIA. Next week, he's not going to talk to us about Stargate. He is going to talk to us about MKUltra.
It's true. He's going to be programming.
He's going to be programmed. He's going to be telling us why MKUltra was a great idea.
Oh, God. We need to get into some of that, too.
No, absolutely.
Well, no, the reason is the CIA has been declassifying all this stuff they've done, like studies and research into astral projection
mm-hmm.
and the energetic structure of the universe. And, like, that's the other thing. Like, even the CIA has spent money on investigating these things.
Yeah. So why are you getting on every fucking forum and found evidence in every social media? And the minute you see anybody, even if it's just a Tumblr witch, once again, not insulting the Tumblr witches, they're just like, that's so fucking stupid. I don't believe that. Well, you know what? You believe a lot of stupid shit. So, like, I love it when people tell me, oh, that's so stupid, but I'm an agnostic.
Yeah.
I believe there's a possibility that there's a higher power out there. But... You know,
I mean,
yeah, but you talking about Enochian magic's fucking stupid,
right? Yeah.
I'm just like, shut the fuck up, eat my dick.
It's all the same thing in the end.
Yeah, it's all the same thing. It's all interconnected. But anyways, if you like what you hear, give us subscribe to us, and give us some stars on whatever podcasting platform you use. We promise that next week we will try to do ancient Stargates or MKUltra. I don't make any guarantees about David, because if he looks like he is a robot, he will no longer be appearing on the show because he would be compromising us.
Hopefully he doesn't start shape-shifting.
Oh, shit. I mean, I didn't even think about that part. Like, what if...
Yeah, maybe MK Ultra. They were just opening people up to fucking, you know, possession.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Well, we're gonna the new episode title is self help episode. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.